Hello, everyone, and welcome to another recording of our HopsWorks 5-Minute Interviews. I'm Rick van Bruggen from HopsWorks, and today I have a wonderful guest on the other end of this Google meeting, and that is Camilo Rodriguez. Hi, Camilo. How are you?
Hi, Rick. Thank you for inviting me.
Camilo, you work for MLab.ai in Paris, and maybe you can introduce yourself to our viewers and explain what you guys do and what's your relationship to this wonderful field that we work in.
Yes, thank you very much, Rick. So my name is Camilo Rodriguez, and I work here in Paris, France. I have a training and consultancy company in the machine learning field. My company's name is Machine Learning Lab. And what I basically do is I do three things. I teach about artificial intelligence, machine learning, data science, and then I also consult with companies and I help them deploy ideas and ML projects in their organizations. And the last thing I do is that when I have the time and when I have the energy, I also do machine learning for my customers. So I train machine learning models and I take care of the ML pipeline that you know. I mean, this is the software that you do, that we're going to have the opportunity to talk about that.
That's great. Yeah, fantastic. Can you help us understand a little bit how you got into the field? You know, what's your relationship to it? How did it get started?
It was a little bit by accident. I mean, to many people's surprise, I don't actually have an engineer background. I have a sales background. But when I was maybe 30 years old, I reconverted myself into the software development world for many reasons. And then I became both sales and also technical guy. So basically, I learned how to do software from the web perspective, web development, which forced me, because when you're a freelance, you have to do everything. So you have to become a full stack developer. So I also got an interest in, you know, infrastructure. Where do you put all the software? Or how can you maintain it? How can you deploy it? And then I worked in a company for some time that was doing that was selling the machine learning solutions from the APIs from Google. It was a consultancy company, mostly doing business with the APIs of artificial intelligence as a service. And I discovered the wonderful world of machine learning. I couldn't know that you could simply classify an image, or you could do many things with just a couple of lines of code by integrating somebody else's APIs. So this was a good discovery for me. And I became very, very curious about that. So I started training myself on machine learning, doing my own machine learning, not being only limited to the APIs that exist in the market, but anybody can do can train a machine learning model. And then training, because I understand that there's a lot of people that are really new to this. And, you know, machine learning, artificial intelligence, they have a very... There's a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of myths around all this. So part of my job is to train and to explain to people how this works, what can we do with this, what are the resources that you need in a company if you want to go into the ML direction, and so on.
Fantastic. And you kind of already explained it a little bit, you know, but is there a particular thing that attracts you about machine learning, you know, like that you think like, you know, wow, this is really pushing my buttons and this is why I enjoy working in it that much?
Well, machine learning, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful field because you can achieve with machine learning what you cannot achieve with traditional software. In one of the exercises that I do when I teach about machine learning, it's I try to say to people, okay, explain to me what is an apple, you know, in simple terms. So people start saying, you know, it's red, it's round. But then I start showing all the difference and all the exceptions to the rule. An apple can be something else than red. It can be something else. It cannot be round. Maybe an apple can be cut. And, you know, machine learning, it's a way of doing software that allows you to answer some of the things that are less obvious, like image classification or understanding phrases, understanding language. Even, you know, in the generative AI field that we have right now in 2024, generating language, generating photos, generating stuff so that it looks real. So I think it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful field because, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of myths around artificial intelligence, but really machine learning for me, it mimics a little bit the human brain. If I can be so bold. So it's beautiful. I love the field and I love teaching about it and I love explaining to people that there are no artificial brains and that it's just software, you know, but it's software that you do with data. And these people they do not know necessarily.
Just very quickly, you know, is there a particular field that you specialize in that you find like, you know, this is like the most, I mean, of course, everyone's got their mind full of, you know, the generative AI stuff. But is there a particular field that you feel like, you know, this is like the coolest thing?
For me, the coolest thing is images, because images are very visual. You know, we learn to see before we learn to speak and before we learn to write. So for me, I really love machine learning and all the field when it comes to pictures. And even when I teach about machine learning, I start with pictures. This is my first example and the first thing that I show because it's beautiful and it's understandable by anybody, even a kid. when you start doing structured data, when you start showing Excels and SQL databases, it's a little bit sexy, less sexy. You know, I mean, you cannot explain that. I mean, it's okay. You know, I mean, you can do machine learning with columns and rows of data, but it's a little bit more boring. If I make it so. I mean, the companies they need this, of course. But what I do love is images. That's my field of predilection.
Fantastic. Maybe you can kind of share a couple of things that you find, you know, this is what people definitely should read or watch or whatever, you know, anything that comes to mind that you can share with the audience. Obviously, there's a lot of material on your own website and you have your trainings and stuff, but anything that comes to mind?
Yes. So basically, I have my own YouTube channel that I am starting. So it's a little bit small, but where I try to introduce concepts in 3 or 4 minutes videos, trying to explain what is machine learning, what is classification, what is regression, what is a data set, you know, basic concepts for people that are interested in these fields, but also more complex subjects as well. Because for me, speaking AI, this is my concept in French. In French, it's parler AI. Speaking AI, for me, it's a necessity forever. So speaking about what is MLOps, what is a data pipeline, all this is something very important that people need to understand. And that people need to, I think it's important if you want to understand and if you want to be more competitive in today's field. So I can recommend my YouTube channel, but I can also recommend many, many people, many channels. You know, there's a guy that I admire a lot. His name is Andrew Ng. Andrew Ng is, he was my teacher. I trained with him. He's one of the fathers of machine learning. So, and there are a lot of videos. It's very, very old. I mean, you can find content from 10, 20 years ago. If you're really interested in the mathematics and how machine learning works from a mathematical point of view, I recommend this kind of content. I can for people.
You know what? We'll put some links in the transcription, and then people can look it up and themselves and find it there. Hey, Camilla, there's one more thing that I wanted to ask you. You know, because I know that you're an expert in the field here, and you work with lots of companies on the field of ML and AI. What's your opinion on like MLOps and the broader infrastructure that people need to implement for these types of applications?
Yes, so let me start by answering first, what is MLOps? You know, because it's something that not necessarily many people in machine learning, they know. One thing is to train your machine learning models. One thing is to do wonderful stuff with the data that you have. The problem that most people are not aware that they're going to have is that it's not because you trained a machine learning model in your computer, the job is not done. This machine learning model needs to live somewhere in a server. You need to make it available via an API. And not only that, your machine learning model is going to collect data. As it's being used. So, you're going to have to monitor it. You're going to have different versions of these machine learning models. So all this is the field of machine learning ops. That is not necessarily people that start working in ML, they know that this is going to be necessary. So I think that, machine learning operations, ML ops, it's a field, it's a new field that has been recently growing and growing. And it's something that requires the attention of the professional working in this field. There's a joke that they say that the data scientist says, okay, the machine learning model worked in my PC. And the manager says, okay, we'll ship your PC to the customer. And, that's it's a joke, but it's true. Yeah. I mean, it's not because it lives in a Jupyter notebook. It's not because it lives in your PC physically, your model. You need to deploy it. You need to maintain it. You need to worry about, how you're going to version it, how you're going to control it, how you're going to do security, users, who is going to have access to this and that. So machine learning ops, it's a whole beautiful and amazing field, and that not necessarily people know much about it.
As at HopsWorks, we have a lot of things to say about that on a different forum, but we'll point people there as well. But anyway, I thank you so much for taking the time for to do this interview, Camilo. It's been a great conversation. I hope it's going to be useful to lots of people. Thank you for taking the time, and I wish you a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, Rick, for inviting me. I hope you have a nice day as well.